where we were looking at the faith of Abraham, or Abram, as he's known in this earlier portion we're looking at. And so we're going to continue that today. We're in chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12. So glad that you guys have joined us today, whether you're online or here live and in person. We're talking about the journey of faith, the journey of faith. And I know in the new year, especially right now with the pandemic, a lot of people are really looking at vitamins to try to stay and get healthy. And I want to give you today a big shot of vitamin F. I want your veins to be full of faith, vitamin F for faith. And there's no better example of faith in God's Word than this man named Abraham. In fact, he's called the father of faith, the father of faith. And so if you missed last week, in the first 9 verses, it's all about his testimony, about his testimony, about how he received a call to a life of faith. And he began to walk by faith with the one true God, who's known in the Old Testament as Yahweh. And so we saw last week that the call to a life of faith is a call to leave the old life behind. We turn away from our old life and turn towards Christ in our new life today. That's part of our walk by faith. But we also saw where it's a call to bless others. Abraham was blessed so that he could be a blessing to others around him. And that's what part of what the Christian walk or the journey of faith is all about. We also saw that sometimes it's a call that's difficult to understand. Sometimes God asks us to do some things that just don't make sense logically to us or to the world anyway. And then lastly, we saw that it's a call that requires continual faith. Continual faith. And so that's what I really want to park on today. Really what this is all going to be about is our faith lessons. Lessons of faith. That's what I really want to focus on. And Warren Wiersbe really helped me to understand this verse several years ago. And so I want to give credit to Warren. He's with the Lord now. He's no longer here on earth. But he opened my mind what this verse is teaching. And I trust that the Lord's going to bless you today and help you to understand these faith lessons. So I'm just going to start out and I'm just going to read one verse. Verse 10. But we're going to work all the way through the end of 12 and get into the first few verses of chapter 13 today. We're just going verse by verse, studying the life of Abraham. Verse 10, again, thinking about what we just read in the first 9 verses or studied last week, verse 10 is kind of a downer. But there's actually something going on here we're going to explain in a little bit. This is what it says. There was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to stay there for a while because the famine in the land was severe. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how we understand that it is faith that is our response to what you offer us. We just sang about that. Come all who are needy. Come all who are addicted. Come all who are burdened and broken by sin. Come and see if Christ will satisfy. And what we do as we come is we come by faith. We place our faith in you. And there's initial saving faith. Thank you, Jesus, that you are faithful to cleanse us of all unrighteousness and forgive us as we confess our sins and cling to you as our Savior. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you've saved me. I don't deserve it, but you've richly bestowed it upon me. But Lord, there's also this walk of faith, which is what we're going to kind of focus on today, the journey of faith. Because if once we are saved, you don't immediately call us to heaven. We have a time to live on this earth, to glorify you. And to grow in our faith. And we're interested in growing in our faith during these times, during this new year. And so please help us, Lord, to learn these faith lessons today. That'll be so important for us as we make this journey of faith. And we'll need to refer to them again and again. And I'm thankful for how you showed them to us through the father of faith, Abraham. Sometimes a man who seems larger than life for us. We see about how he responds to faith. And we're like, we're amazed. By faith, he responds, and we think we could never do that. But we don't always stop to think about the fact that he wasn't always perfect, and that sometimes his faith faltered. And so I pray that we'd be encouraged today and strengthened in our faith journey. And as always, Lord, I pray that you would please help me to preach your word. Holy Spirit, please speak through me. I need you, this congregation, those listening online need you. We need you to speak through your word today. So I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know how many of you know this. I don't have to remind any of you. But success doesn't happen overnight, does it? I mean, think about it in terms of school or education. Think about that person who is aspiring to be a doctor. When you're 8 or 9 years old and you say, I think I want to be a doctor when I grow up. Well, that doesn't happen overnight. Matter of fact, there's a lot of schooling that takes place. I believe there's about 4 years in undergraduate school. And then you've got about 3 years in medical school and 2 years in residency. You invest thousands of hours to be a successful doctor or physician or to be successful in that field. What about attorneys? We like to tease and make fun of attorneys. But successful attorneys, that just doesn't happen by accident. They go to college, again, undergraduate school for 4 years. Then they spend 3 years in law school. And after that, they have to pass an incredibly difficult bar exam. And so there are tests that they have to go through and so that they can be ready to serve well. Think about astronauts. I don't know if you all know Mike Hopkins or not. He's kind of a local guy that's been on the space shuttle and on some missions. And he grew up for a while in Richland and around this area. Went to school at School of the Osage. He's an astronaut. You know, that just didn't happen by accident. He just didn't wake up one day and say, I think I'll be an astronaut. And he walked down to Houston or to NASA and entered in. It took years of training. Again, undergraduate school and graduate school. And later on after that, he had to go through simulated launches and spent thousands of hours preparing to be an astronaut. Think about someone who has a pilot's license. I know some in here enjoy that and some have that. Aviators need at least 40 hours of pilot lessons, then at least 10 hours of solo time. And then they're required to pass a written exam, and then they have to do a check ride with a qualified instructor, and they have to stay current. There's a lot of work to be a good pilot, right? Well, listen, it's work, and your faith journey doesn't happen by accident. In fact, again, Warren Wiersbe, who really helped me to think through this passage I'm sharing today, he calls this section that Abraham is in the school of faith. He says, you know what God has done? God has enrolled Abram into the school of faith. And so that's what I want to kind of talk about today. That's why I chose this title, Faith Lessons. Faith Lessons. Abram is in the school of faith, and there are three valuable lessons that he's about to learn at the end of chapter 12. And I'd like you to jot them down. Hope you'll take your notes out today, and I hope you'll just jot down these three lessons, because you know what? They're lessons that we need to learn as well. These are lessons that will help us in our journey of faith as we follow Christ. Here's lesson number one. Lesson number one is simply this: a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. Let me say that again. A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. When we read here that there was a famine in the land is not unusual, and that doesn't really draw our attention to anything outlandish. If we know anything about Israel or the Holy Land or the Promised Land, it's a pretty dry place. They have famines there. So these probably aren't shocking words, but what they do represent in the context of this passage is a test. This was Abraham's first big test. You see, verses 1 through 9 is his testimony. How he followed God and God delivered him into the Promised Land. And when we left him, where was he? He was at the altar worshiping God. It was a spiritual mountaintop for him. Then all of a sudden, where is he headed? He's headed into a little bit of a valley experience. Rain isn't falling. And pretty soon, what's happening? He's questioning the promises of God. Did God really say this? Is God really going to provide this land for me? Are all these promises true for me? And so it's a test. And so I hate to tell you this, but Abram didn't do so well on his first test. Maybe take encouragement in that, okay, if some of you have flunked a test recently. But when Abram went down to Egypt, as it says there, instead of remaining in the land and trusting the Lord to provide, he failed a faith test. Now again, God didn't tell him to leave. God told him to stay, remain in the land. And so what he did is he showed that he lacked faith. Now, what was going on when he lacked faith? Well, fear. And somebody said once, I think it's a pretty good example, you will either respond to something going on around you by faith or by fear. I think you can make a case for one other thing. You might respond in rebellion, but that's for another day. That's another lesson. Today, think about the fact that you either respond by faith or by fear. So what's going on here is it's test time, and tests always follow triumphs. Keep that in mind. You're in a mountaintop right now. I don't know many people that are, but if you're having a mountaintop experience right now, just be ready. A valley is going to follow. A test is going to follow. So what is a test, all right? We see here it's a famine for Abram. What is a test? Well, listen, a test, this is going to be on your screen. A test is a circumstance beyond your control that makes it hard to trust. So a test is something that you can't immediately change, a circumstance you find yourself in that makes it really hard to trust God. It could be a lot of things. Sometimes people freak out when they get a test, all right? Sometimes Christians think, what in the world have I done to deserve this? I thought I was saved. Why am I going through this? What's going on, Lord? When you need to understand that a test is normal. It's to be expected. I mean, after all, if you didn't have tests, how would you know if your faith was real? So God is going to allow testing into your life. And the tests or the famines that we have in our lives are all kinds of things. It could be a famine in our workplace, in our job, or our career. It could be a famine in your family or your relationships. It could be a health famine. But God is going to allow testing to occur in your life. Now, here's the deal. Whenever we have these tests that come on us, and we're really shaken by them, what's often happened is we're tempted to retreat. A lot of times Christians are tempted just to fall back into fear and do things that really cause more problems. That's what Abraham does here. We're going to talk about it in a moment. But tests are necessary. The only way that you can grow in your faith is to be tested and to allow your faith to kick in. So let me talk about this story a little bit. Let's look a little bit more into the text here, okay? First of all, we look at verse 11. It says, after he went down to the land because of severe famine, it says in verse 11, when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I always laugh at this, in a good way, look, I know what a beautiful woman you are. Now, guys, you can never go wrong with saying that your wife is a beautiful woman, all right? That's a good thing to say right there. And that's not what I'm laughing about at all. And actually, as a matter of fact, this is pretty amazing to think about. Do you know how old Sarai was at this point in time? I think she was about 65 years old, because we had read last week Abram was 75. Later on, we'll find out that she's 10 years younger than him. So she's 65 years old, and she's a knockout. And I believe she really was, and I think he really meant these words. The problem with what he said is the motivation behind why he said those words. He's got an ulterior motive. He's got a larger scheme. And so what he's going to do is he's going to move from trusting to scheming. Abram is going to move from trusting to scheming. Look at his scheme here. Verse 12. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but let you live. Now, is that what God had promised him? That you'd move to the promised land, only be killed shortly after going there? No. God said, I'm going to make you a blessing to many people, and I'm going to bless you with many descendants. So again, he's not believing God there. He's not believing the promises God had made for him. So here's the plan he hatches. Please say you're my sister, so it will go well for me because of you. And my life will be spared on your account. So he's telling her to pose as his sister. Now, there is some truth to this, by the way. She actually is his half-sister. Don't freak out on me, okay? They had different father or different mothers, but the same father, I believe it was. It's one way or the other. I can't remember for sure. But that was back in that day, that was normal. That was not unusual. But still, it was a half-truth. And you know what a half-truth is? It's a whole lie. It's a lie. But he's moving from confidence to fear. God had repeatedly said, I will. I will do this for you. And Abraham is thinking about what they will do. They will kill or harm me. And so when Abram went down to Egypt, he took his eyes off the Lord, and he has his eyes on his circumstances. And again, he moved from others to self. That's the other thing I noticed. He's to be a blessing to other people, including his wife. By the way, when God moves down to Egypt, or when Abram moves down to Egypt, he's no longer thinking about others. He's thinking entirely about himself. Self-preservation. And so, listen. Here's what I'm trying to say with this first point. Every test you face is an opportunity to grow your faith. Every single test you face. Now, faith, I saw this from Skip Heitzig and I liked it, so I included it. Faith is like a muscle. Faith is like a muscle. Any of you guys trying to work out right now with the new year, trying to do some body work? Maybe you're doing CrossFit. I tried that for about a week once and I thought, this isn't for me. Faith is like a muscle. If you never use it, it'll never grow. And so you got to use your faith for it to grow. That's what God is crying out for him to do. Use your faith, dude. Just place your faith in me. And he's not doing that. Lesson number one, a faith that can't be tested, can't be trusted. Now let's continue on. Just walking our way through this passage. And here's lesson number two. Lesson number two, your faith failure always impacts others negatively. Abram is about to learn that his faith failure is going to impact all kinds of people. All the time I hear people say, well, yeah, pastor, that's not right. That's a sin. But you know what? It's not affecting anybody but me. By the way, that's part of the American culture we live in right now that's very me-centered. And we think about us and we're self-centered. And but you know what? I would argue with that. Every sin you commit, whether you realize it or not, and maybe it doesn't happen immediately, but it does affect other people. Your sins do impact others. And you're very responsible. No man is an island, no woman. You are very responsible for how you respond to things that go on around you because it does impact others. And I want you to see here how Abram's sin, Abram's faith failure, impacted a number of different people. Several different kinds of people. All right? Because what we do as Christians certainly impacts people around us. Look at verse 14. Here it is. Abram entered Egypt. So he's acting on his plan. The Egyptians saw that indeed the woman was very beautiful. So he's not just making that up. She really was beautiful. Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh. And just like Abram feared, the woman was taken to Pharaoh's household. He's talking about Sarai. And he treated Abram well because of her. And guess what happens initially? Abram gets rich. Look at it there. He acquires donkeys and slaves and camels. Now let's stop right there. Don't read on, okay? I don't want you to have a spoiler alert. What's Abram thinking at this point? Wow, it's going great. This is working out for me. Things are going just great, just like I planned. I'm getting away with this. Not so fast, dude. People that you love are negatively affected when you have a faith failure. So people that you love the most are negatively affected by your faith failure. Hey, folks, there's people watching you, and some of those people are the people who live closest to you, your children, your spouse, people that you love and care about. And you know what? The person that he puts most at harm is the person he's supposed to love the most, his wife, Sarah. And he does love her. But again, he's not thinking straight because he's not living or walking by faith. He's walking by fear. Let me just say something, okay? Kind of another inference we can draw from this. A husband who is living out of the will of God, a husband who is being disobedient to God, is dangerous. He's dangerous to himself. He's dangerous to his family. He's dangerous to his wife. That's why God calls us guys to be the spiritual leaders in our home. Now, think about what would have happened if this would have all played out. Think of how it would have put Sarai into harm's way. Think about what it would have done to the promise that God had promised just last week to bring a redeemer through Abram and Sarai. But thankfully, when we don't let God rule in our lives, God overrules us because God accomplishes his purposes. That's why I'm disappointed by a lot of things that are going on right now in our world, but I'm not afraid because I know God's in control. And God can overrule what man sometimes does sinfully. But here's the deal. We still pay dearly for our disobedience. And Abram's going to pay a dear price for his disobedience. And part of that price is in his relationship with his wife, Sarai. Not saying they didn't work it out or couldn't work it out, but they're going to pay a price. Now, the second person who's affected is maybe not that person who is he loves the most, but people who look up to you the most are negatively impacted by your faith failures. He's not mentioned in this section we're in right now, but if you go down to verse 1, the author, who I believe is Moses, mentions that Lot is traveling along with him. We talked about Lot last week. We're going to talk about him a lot more next week. Lot is Abram's nephew, and Lot is raised by Abram because Lot's father dies prematurely. And so he's traveling, and he's watching all of these things going on. And here's the deal. You're going to find out as we read through these sections that Abram recovers from this. I believe Abraham recovered from this bad experience. I'm not saying he doesn't fall again, but he recovers. We're going to see that. But I kind of believe in my mind that Lot was a casualty. I think that Lot's a casualty at this point, even though it doesn't say that. You see, Lot has a taste of the other life. He's got a taste of Egypt. And then he begins to start measuring everything by what he saw and experienced down there. What did it do ultimately? It led to the ruin and downfall of his family. Again, this is from Wiersbe, but before long, Abram and Lot couldn't live together anymore. Next week, we're going to see that in the passage we go over. That's in chapter 13 and verse 10. Next thing you know, Lot is moving towards Sodom. Chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. Finally, he's moving into Sodom in chapter 14 and verse 12. Lot never recovered. Now, that's not to say Lot wasn't a believer. If you read in the New Testament, it seems to indicate that Lot was a true follower of Yahweh or God. But you know what? His life was sure a mess. He sure didn't have much to show for it on this earth. And so he's a casualty. Sometimes people who look up to you the most are negatively affected by your faith failure. Lastly, people who are most in need of what you have are negatively affected by your faith failure. That third person out there is that person who most needs what you have. What do you have that they most need? A personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've been born again and you know Christ and the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart. That person who needs the Holy Spirit in their heart is negatively impacted by your faith failure. Let me show you what I mean. Let's go back now to the verse and pick up in verse 17. It says, "But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his household with severe plagues because of Abram's wife, Sarai." So in verse 18, Pharaoh starts asking questions. And notice this, he says to Abram, "What have you done to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister?" Don't you find that ironic? Here's a pagan, somebody who doesn't even know God, who's calling out a believer. And guys, I got to say this or I wouldn't be doing my job as a pastor. I've got to think about our country right now. And a lot of people who claim to be believers in Jesus, there's pagans, there's unbelievers right now that are calling them out, saying, "You've done wrong, you've not done right, you've lied, or you've been deceptive." And you know what? They're right. They're right. But you know what's the saddest thing about that? It has nothing to do with politics, all right? I'm not preaching politics today. But it means that our witness is hindered. People who are far from God right now, they'll look at the church and they won't have a lot of confidence in the church. You suppose Pharaoh had any confidence in this man that God had called to be a blessing to all people? No. He didn't have any confidence in him at all. Look what he says here. "Get out of here. I don't even want to see you. Just take her and go." And then Pharaoh gave his men orders about him and they sent him away with his wife and all he had. People who are most in need of what you have are negatively impacted by your faith failure. That's why we got to walk the walk. We've got to be who we say we are in Christ. But we've got to, more importantly, walk by faith and not by fear. Not by fear. That's lesson number two. Lesson number three. Now's the good part, all right? I don't like to end on a negative like that. No faith failure ever has to be final. Aren't you glad of that? No faith failure ever has to be final. Just because you fail or flunk a test in the school of faith doesn't mean you have to drop out. As a matter of fact, God won't let you drop out. Don't you love that? Psalm 138 and verse 8 says, "The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me." And then in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "I am sure of this, that He who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So you're not going to be allowed to drop out. You know what you got to do? You got to rather pick yourself up, and you got to learn from it and continue to walk by faith. Look at what happens in chapter 13. Abram learned his lesson, repented, and went up or out of Egypt and went back into the promised land where he belonged. Let me show you. Verse 3, chapter 1, or chapter 13 says he went by stages from the Negev to Bethel. That's in reverse, by the way, of last week, to the place between Bethel and Ai. Remember that from last week? Where his tent had formerly been. And don't miss verse 4, to the site where he had built the altar. And Abram, look at this, called on the name of the Lord there. Listen, our faith failures may shape us, but they don't have to define us. You feel like a failure today? You know you've blown it. You don't have to stay there. Thankfully, we have a God who forgives us. You can get back to the place where you need to be after you've disobeyed God. In fact, that's the only right thing to do, is to throw yourself at His mercy and grace and resolve to live by faith again. When you've had a faith failure, what you need to do, first of all, is let go. Let go of what is keeping you from God's best. It may be a habit, it may be a sin, a hang-up. Heard a story just this last week about a guy who was struggling with pornography, and he went to his pastor about it, and his pastor said, "Well, you've got one of those smartphones, don't you?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "But I get all kinds of information on it." He said, "Well, you know what? People survive for thousands of years without a smartphone. I'd recommend you get a flip phone." And so the guy did. He got rid of his smartphone and got a flip phone. And they talked. His pastor talked to him a little bit after that and said, "Well, how are you doing?" He said, "I hate this flip phone, but I love my purity." And so it helped him. And so sometimes you just got to let go and walk away from something. And so Abram did that. He walked away. Now, by the way, nothing indicates that the famine was gone when he went back to the promised land. In fact, next week, we're going to see a dispute between the cattlemen, the men who worked for Lot versus the men who worked for Abram. And that tells me there wasn't a lot of pasture land. So I don't think the famine was over yet. But what's the difference? Abram's walking by faith now. He's no longer troubled about it. He's left it in God's hands. He's trusting God again. So when you've had a faith failure, let go of what is keeping you from God's best. One last point. When you've had a faith failure, let God bring you back to Bethel. Let God bring you back to Bethel, where that house of God is and where that altar is. Never abandon your altar. Be on your knees every day because it's your prayer time. It's your time spent with God that's going to give you the faith and give you the courage that you need to walk this journey. If you just try to do it on your own, you're going to fail again and again because we're not strong enough on our own. And so that's what Abram did. When famine comes, we need to dig in. Dig in our relationship with God. God allowed him, because he came back to him, to successfully advance in the school of faith. So here's my final point today. In your walk of faith, keep taking steps toward God. And you know what the initial step is? We talked about last week, that step of salvation. Receiving forgiveness for your sins, turning from your sins, and trusting Christ only. You got to be humble to do that. But you got to be humble like Abram to walk back to Bethel after you've blown it. But you know what? No failure is ever final for the child of God who walks by faith. Isn't that good? Let's close on that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I thank you for what you have shown us today in these faith lessons. Thank you that the Father of faith, the person we most look to in the Bible and people admire for his faith, failed his first test when he got into the promised land. But he recovered. He recovered because he continued to rely on or count on you. And I thank you that I can count on you as my Savior and my Lord. Not just for initial salvation, as important as that and as necessary. That is the most important thing. But in my continued journey of faith, I can rely on you. Lord, I just know in my heart today that there's people here today that heard this message and something hit connected. Something sparked for them. And they need to make a decision right now. Maybe they need to place their faith in Christ as Savior. But for the majority here or watching online, maybe they just need to get back up again. Make their way back. Let go of something in their life that's not healthy. It's not your best for them. There's a reason why they fell back into that. Maybe it was fear. Maybe they felt they needed relief. Maybe it's money. Maybe they just need to let you take care of their financial situation again. Trust you in that. Maybe it's a health situation. But help us all to get back to the altar, to get back to Bethel, the house of God, to get back into that good, close relationship with you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the power you give us to live out this life of faith. Lord, I pray that your will be done now in this invitation. I give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.